Boy, one thing that I have both experienced and observed is that we're living in a time of a lot of fear and anxiety. There's just everything, a lot of things going on all over the world, a lot of things going on in our country, our society, with our freedoms, with our economy, with about everything is shaking right now. But to compound that, we also have a lot of personal fears and anxieties. I mean, if everything was going great in the world, there's still a lot of things we have to deal with, right? We have worries about our income, about our careers, about our jobs, worries about our health, worries about our relationships. There's just a lot of things that bear on us. And if we're not careful, we can begin to live with almost constant fear and dread. I mean, that can become our norm, and that bothers me. As a Christian, the norm of the Christian life should be joy. There are times of sorrow. There are times of difficulty. There's times of discouragement. But the norm ought to be one of faith, hope, and joy, right? That ought to typify the norm of the Christian life. But if we're not careful, we can start dreading tomorrow, dread the new day, dread the dawn of the sun. Amen? We can begin to dread the future for fear of what might happen to us. Amen? And I'm telling you, I live this too, folks. That's one thing somebody has asked me today. There's some difficult situations, probably some of the more difficult I faced. And yet, God's been good to me. God's given me strength. And I said, one of the things is, I preach this, but I need to live it too. I need to, you know, it's one thing if everything's going great in my life and there's no trouble. It's one thing to stand up here and espouse faith and confidence and hope. But it's quite another thing when we're in the struggle to still give God the glory He deserves and continue to trust Him and hope in Him and live in joy. Amen? Even when we don't necessarily have an explanation for what's going on. Amen?
Yes.
Now, this is my belief. What's going on in the world around us should cause us concern. Man, I tell you what, if you watch what's going on in our politics and our economy and in our society, if you just take just a shallow look at it, it ought to cause you concern. Amen? But it shouldn't cause us to lose faith or despair. When we look at what's going on in our life, it may require serious attention to things in our life. You know, at the moment, there's times you have to do some draconian things in your life to move forward, right? I mean, there's some biggies, and it requires some intense effort. But it ought not cause us to lose our faith in God. And my thoughts tonight, what I thought of all day, because it's probably, I know, I'll tell you the truth, I had a horrible first of the week and needed a really, really killer first of the week. And I don't know how long I'll be employed. And when you're 60, that is not as easy to go out and replace. And the desire level is not as high as it once was either. But God knows what the future holds. Amen? In every way, God knows what the future holds. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Trusting the future to God. These are familiar verses. Those, all of you in the building, most of you on the phone tonight, have heard me preach several times. None of these verses are new. None of these concepts are new. But we're in an era of time when we no longer have the luxury of just accepting things in a head knowledge. We really have to absorb it and make it part of us. And by that I mean, we say God is ruler over everything. Well, then we need to live like that. We really believe God is ruler over everything. We say God can be depended on. Well, then we need to live as if we really believe God can be depended on. Amen. The future belongs to God. This is God's world. That's basic to our Christian faith. Amen? God created this world. It's His. He planned it all out before He created it. He spoke it into existence. He sustains it. It underwent some major renovations since the time of creation, but God was behind every one of them. God changed the whole ecosystem with the flood. What was happening in our atmosphere, what's happening on earth, God changed it with the flood, right? God changed the original creation with the curse of sin. But the changes that have came in this world, God has brought about. He still sustains this world. Now think of all the thousand years of the curse of sin, and yet how beautiful creation still is in so many ways. Think how stupid people are populating this world, and how God, in spite of them, has continued to make it a good place. Amen, by and large, and a beautiful place. This is God's world. God will accomplish His purposes while this era of time exists. It's not a future era. It's not another world. In this world, at this time, God will accomplish everything He intended to accomplish when He spoke it into existence. Amen? When it comes to an end, it'll be because God has chosen the end. Amen? And God will end it when, according to His plan and His wisdom, it's time to end it. We need to keep that in mind with everything that's going on, because we see different elements that we have confidence in maybe being defeated by things that we believe are evil, right? Well, then they are evil, by the way. But when you see that, we can get it all out of perspective. But this is God's world. We need that perspective. God is so far above all of creation. This whole world is not a speck in the universe. And the whole universe God just put out there with His hand. Amen? Isaiah 40 and 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who directed the Spirit of the Lord, or made His counsel, or taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as a small dust in the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon's not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they're counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. God is so far above everything that appears so strong in this world. Amen. 21st verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It's He that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind will take them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of His might. For He's stronger in power, and not one faileth. You know He's saying, I don't care how powerful people are, they're nothing to God. If God so chooses, they're here today and gone tomorrow. He said, take a look at the stars. They're too many to count. And yet God knows every one of them by name. Sustains every one of them. Isaiah 46 and 9. Remember the former things of old, for I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Just saying God knows the ends from the beginning. None of this has taken God by surprise. Now, 2020 took me by surprise. And if it didn't take you, you should have been in the stock market, because if you have that much foresight, you should be financing all of us by this point. Because it was unpredictable what happened this year on so many levels in so many ways. Yeah, God ain't a bit surprised by it. It didn't catch Him off guard. It didn't alter His plans any. It didn't change His plans for anything He was doing. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus repeats that in Luke 1:37, for nothing shall be impossible. That's also an Old Testament verse that tells us nothing's impossible with God. Well, I say all that because, folks, we need to get our eyes off of us, off of our situation, off of what's happening adversely. I don't mean be ignorant of it, and don't mean pretend it ain't happening. But what it does mean is see, we have a real God who is so far above all this in wisdom. Amen? A lot of times I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. I do some things different than some are, but I really don't know what to do. Neither does anybody else, if the truth be told. They don't have all the wisdom. And they don't have the power to make it happen, yet God has both. When we find ourselves slipping into the worry and into the anxiety, we need to flee to this truth. These passages ought to be highlighted in your Bible. You ought to go back there. You ought to read them. If you need it, you ought to read it every day. We need to see who our God is. Who are we asking for help? Who are we depending on? Amen? We can trust the future to God because He's truly in control. But I'll bring it a little closer to home. God also has a plan for you and your life. God saw you before you were ever born. God knew you before you was ever born. And God determined a plan for your life. Now we have a part in that, obviously, but God, in His wisdom, knew choices we was going to make, and He worked within our own free will and the choices we was making to have a plan for our life. And God's plan for us is good. If you read all the promises of the Bible, here's the general tenor of them. God wants us to be as blessed as we can be in this life within the realm of us making heaven our home and other people making heaven their home. Amen? Now, there's times that getting rich and having everything in abundance is not the most conducive to us making a home to heaven or somebody else making a home to heaven, right? So God, in His infinite wisdom, without violating anybody's free will, though, because He truly loves, He can't say He truly loves us if this ain't true. God truly wants it the best it can be with making heaven our home and as many as other possible making heaven their home. Because He really loves us. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them all He also glorified. Well, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know this passage is saying? God causes everything to work for our eternal good and our temporal good as it fits in the picture of our eternal good. Amen? God's causing all things to work for our good. He knew you before you was ever born. He said, them whom He did foreknow, He predestined. That means God saw you and saw that He could win your love when He revealed Himself to you. And knowing then the choice that you would choose to love Him and choose to accept His salvation, He then purposed, predetermined, to make you His child. Well, along with Jesus, so Jesus would be the firstborn of many children, right? He predestined, that means He predetermined that those He foreknew, those that He knew He could win, He determined that He is going to do that. He predetermined to make you His child. And His purpose is to bring you home to heaven. He's carrying out that plan. He called you. He called you to Himself. Then He justified you. It's not of ourselves. It's why the salvation is of God. We just simply responded. Amen? And He's intending to glorify. That means God purposes to take us all the way through. God's carrying out the plan in your life. Amen? Now, sometimes we don't see that because it ain't our plan. And we don't see how on earth this could fit in any kind of good plan. So, I mean, we don't see it. But God is carrying out the best for you, given all the factors that God sees and knows, the best for you to bring you home to heaven and to help you in this life. God is actively working that plan in our life. Our job is simply to cooperate with Him, to trust Him, to keep our relationship with Him, to maintain our love and trust as we walk through life. The truth is, nothing can harm us if we do that. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can thwart God's plans? Either for the whole world or for you individually. Who can thwart God's plans? Nobody but us. Amen? All we have to do is keep ourselves in proper relationship with God. To keep ourselves in His favor and His love. To maintain our relationship with Him. Because God truly loves us and cares about us. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Did you get the tenor? Did you get the feel of those verses? God truly loves us as His children. Amen? So first, God knows everything. God's above everything. God's all-powerful, all-knowing. He has a plan for the world, but He has a plan for you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow and next week and the week beyond. Amen? He knows all about it. He knows our beginning and our end already. And He truly loves us. Truly loves us. And He's faithful. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You ain't saying here, continue in well-doing, continue faithful, continue to do what you know to do, even if it involves suffering, if following the will of God involves suffering, continue trusting Him, committing the keeping of your soul to Him in well-doing. That means continue to do what you know is right. Trust God as a faithful Creator. He's faithful. That means He's reliable. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. Amen? He's reliable. God's reliable. You can depend on Him. You can trust Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He mentions that both in Hebrew and Malachi. Amen? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for I am the Lord, I change not. What He's done in the past, He can be depended on to do again. God is both able and willing to help us. He's all-powerful. He knows everything there is to know. He truly loves us. And He's promised to protect us. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. We're safe in His hand, folks. No matter how much the storm rages, no matter what people do, we continue to be safe in His hand. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We have a safe place. I want us to get a right picture in our minds so we can face the future with confidence, with assurance. You're going to have worries. There's going to be things that pop up that are frightening, but they don't have to overwhelm us. We have a God. We're walking hand by hand in hand with God into that future. And I want you to see, there's a bunch of things you are not sufficient for. You are rightly judging the situation. You're in trouble if it's up to you. Honest. We don't have the resources. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the wherewithal. Amen? Most time we don't know what really ought to happen. And if we did, we certainly ain't got any wherewithal to make it happen. But we serve one who knows what ought to happen. Who is able to do whatever needs done. In our finite minds, let's not second guess what God allows or what He does. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Resist the urge to second guess why God allowed something to happen. That's not our place. If you want to live a confident, joyful life, you have to commit yourself to trust God no matter what. I don't have to be able to see. I don't have to be able to understand. I don't have to be able to explain it. Amen?
Amen.
Tell you what, some people won't go there unless they can figure it out. But I tell you what, that is not going to cut it in a life of faith. Faith is when we don't see. When we don't know, we continue to trust Him and love Him anyhow. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know what the future holds. Neither does anybody else for that matter, by the way. I'm pretty certain that it's either going to face revival or judgment, but on the other hand, that's in God's hand as well. Amen?
Amen?
This I do know, though. With God, the future is safe in His keeping, in His love, and in His care. That doesn't mean we won't face difficulties. It doesn't mean we won't face pain and we won't face hardship. That's part of this life. It's part of a Christian life. Amen? But it does mean that God's still in control ultimately. He still loves us. He's still working His plan, both in the big picture and in your life individually. He will still care for us, provide for us, and protect us as His own children, no matter what. We can face the future with confidence instead of dread. There's some things that I dread in the future. But I don't know how God's going to turn that. I really don't. I'm not wise enough to know. God has done marvelous things in desperate times that no one could have predicted. And He's still able. Amen?
Right.
We can face the future with confidence, personally or collectively. We can choose to face the future with trust instead of fear. We might even get to the place we have some anticipation about what God's going to do, where His plan's going to lead us in uncertainty. Amen? God's able to do above and beyond what we even imagine. Brother Sam, I think, quoted this, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen. I want to challenge us as believers. That's me and you, because I got to get up tomorrow morning and face whatever tomorrow morning brings, just like you do. Whatever it brings, we got to face. But we can walk into the future with our hand in God's, with a sense of hope, safety, and even anticipation about what God's going to do. Our task is not to know the future. Our task is not to figure out everything, have an answer for everything. Our task is to keep ourselves in God's love and favor, take care of our relationship with God, keep it real, and then trust Him as we walk into the future. And we can do that. God isn't asking more than what we can do. It is frightening, which is why most people don't do it, to let go of your plans and say, God, I really want what you want. This don't make sense to me, but you're a lot smarter than I am. You do what's best. Amen? Well, I meditate a lot on what the answer is for some of the problems we face. And I come back to this same truth every time. I am convinced that the way to show the world around us what real salvation is, that there's hope, is that we actually believe these scriptures, which tell us who God is, what He's like, and then throw our whole life on that belief. That I am choosing, no matter what, to trust God and to follow His plan and stay in His favor. Amen? And we can do that, right? That's not asking more than we can do. It's not asking more than we can do. It's frightening because we keep wanting to get our hands around our solving ourselves. We all do. We want to solve it ourselves, or if we ain't solving ourselves, we at least want to know how this is going to happen. You know, where's this going? How's this fit in here? Well, that's not given to us to know always. In fact, sometimes, in some situations in life, it's seldom given to us to really know those things. And we don't have to. We have a God who we know does know, and it's given to us to trust Him. We can do that. Amen? Let's be men and women of faith. I challenge all of us. Our brothers and sisters need examples of faith right now. And you, as I said, it isn't always a great example of faith when you're cheering on the mountaintop and staying on the mountaintop. That's easy to cheer when everything's going your way. When the tide's rolling your way, when you're on top of everything, people need to see that ones can go through some difficulties, through some hard places, through some disappointments, and still keep their trust and joy and hope in God through it. Because I'm going to tell you something. On the other side of this, you're going to find God is faithful, God is true, and God's plan was a whole lot better than our plan. Amen? Yes. We just need to stay steady and get there. And I challenge us, let's dig down to really incorporate these scriptures as part of us so that we live this way, not just talk this way. Amen? May God